Well, my text tonight is Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. The apostle says to these Ephesian elders, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. This seemed to me an appropriate passage, as I said, for a last service here and for my final discourse among you. This text seemed to fit the bill. As I explained, the apostle has to, he's driven in his mind and his heart to address the Ephesian church at least this final time. He must speak again to this people. Why? Because he knows they're exposed to appalling danger. And worse than that, he can see disaster ahead for this church. And being not just a cardboard figure, a man, a machine. I mean, he says in this passage about his tears, this man loves this people. He loves them spiritually. And he is desperate for them, for their eternal welfare. And he fears. He sees what's coming. And he wants to do what he can in this final throw, as it were, to stave off the trouble, to protect the souls of the men and women in the church at Ephesus. And of course, it's not only the church at Ephesus, it's the wretched and miserable dying sinners in Ephesus. This man really does believe that all of us have to stand before the judgment seat. And he does believe that by nature all men are under the wrath of God. And he is absolutely convinced that unless sinners hear the gospel, more, unless sinners receive the gospel, believe the gospel, trust Christ, they will be everlastingly damned. Indeed, they're under the wrath of God already. He's not just interested in preserving a church at Ephesus. It's the gospel he wants. He's after the souls of men. He doesn't preach for a fee to gain a name for himself. He loves sin. And he wants them. He pleads with them night and day to repent and believe. And he knows that if the gospel is warped or twisted, cost, the consequence, will be infinite. Spurgeon said, I quoted Spurgeon, he preached on a different text in this passage, but he said he was condemning himself. But he said, I've come some way towards doing what I'm saying. He was preaching on the text, I have pleaded with you, you know, and I urge you night and day and all that, you know, I call you to witness that I'm clear from the blood of all men. But he said, I feel in myself that I've not, I know I've not done it as I should. And I know I condemn myself. Even more, he condemned himself. Brothers and sisters, we need men in the pulpit who've got this man's heart. We don't need lecturers, dry doctrine preachers. We want men who will weep over us until we are brought into Christ and know Christ and enjoy Christ. That's what we need. We need it. Our country needs it. The world needs it. There is salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. This is what's driving this man. And he can see the danger coming. He says, of your own self. The wolves are going to come in, he said, but even of your own self, he said, you're going to go. Solemn words. He that thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. So he sends for the elders. Now, do I need to explain? These are the men in Ephesus, the believers there in the church, who are specially responsible. They are raised up by God, gifted by God, to teach this people, to guard this people, to rule this people, to lead this people. They are the elders. And Paul really is reaching the church, or trying to reach the church, through these men. He hadn't time to get to Ephesus. He was at Troas a few days before, and he preached there for the last time. But he would like to get to Ephesus, but he can't. But he wants these men to do their job. So he sends for these men, and he gives them this final discourse. It's a very solemn discourse, so I hope you've got the feeling of it when I read it to you. And so this text comes with, to me, I hope you're going to get the sense of it too, with special power. I think it's highly relevant for us. This is his final word to them. It's my final word to you. As a church, a congregation. Now, I must be clear before I start. There's no good getting into this text halfway up and upside down. This man is speaking to the elders at Ephesus. He is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He is speaking to the believers at Ephesus. I think I got it right, don't you? I think it's right. Yes, I'm sure it is. Right then. So what he says here applies primarily, firstly, mostly, however you want, primarily for believers. Are you a believer? This is my last time of asking some of you. Are you a believer? I have preached in this room time without number, it seems to me. And as far as I know, I've had no success with the way of conversion. What a shocking thing to have to confess. I know of nobody. Nobody. That has been converted under my ministry in this room. I'm not the only one, but I'm saying it by myself. So I'm not taking anything for granted, my friend. Are you a believer? Oh yes, well I believe in God. No, I'm not talking about that. Of course we all believe in God. Yeah. And we believe in Australia. Yeah, we know that's true. Yeah, that's... No. Have you got a living faith in Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior? Have you ever cried out to him, Lord, save me? It's for me, Lord, I want to know you died for me. You loved me. Your blood has washed me from my sins. No? Then you are yet in your sins, my friend. And my last time of asking you then. Not only asking you. I want to do what the apostle does. He prays with them. Why won't you come to Christ? You've heard me preach, most of you in this room, you've heard me preach time and again. Have I not been clear with you? Have I not told you that Jesus will save you? Have I not called upon you to repent and believe? If I've not, then God forgive me. But I call upon you now. I'm not saying go home and do it. Do it now. Because if you don't, the rest of this discourse, in a sense, is meaningless for you. I want you to listen, of course. But if you look to Jesus even now, look and live. If you do, then this text will be all for you, because the rest of your Christian life, it starts now and it goes on. And what the apostle says to the Ephesian elders, he says to you. I must leave this because it's just a preface. It's not the text at all. But I'm not going to jump into this text and assume it applies to everybody in this room. I'll be frank with you, my friends. I'll be frank with you. I'm not persuaded of you all that you are in Christ. Does that hurt you to say that? Does that offend you? Well then, why don't you confess Christ? Repent, believe, and what is the next word? Baptize. Why don't we have some baptisms in this place? This is a Baptist church. I saw it outside the door as I came in. A Baptist church. The last time there was a baptism in here, how long ago was it? When I read my Bible, as they heard the gospel preachers, they repented and believed, and if they repented and believed, they didn't wait 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. What did they do? They confessed their faith by being dipped in water. That is the last of this. But will God crown it with that? Shall we hear somebody say, I'm going to confess Christ, for I have repented and believed he has brought me to that. Well, I must get into my text, but that's a preface. If I don't say it, then I'm doing something terribly dangerous. I'm giving wrong message to the wrong people. But this is a word to the believer, so I address you now then, as a believer. And he knows the danger they're in. My friend, we're in danger. Make no mistake about it in this country. You may not agree with me. I see some of you nodding, but many people, well, certainly much they were, don't give you. You think what you like, but I'm telling you, we are in danger. And why, no, some people would tell us that the gospel is going like a house of fire in our land. I mean, they may be right. I don't see it. But that's just me. I'm cynical and old and everything else. Say what you like about me, my friend. But I'm telling you, from my heart, I feel it. I see Islam rising in this country. I see paganism rampant. And I see the gospel at a very low ebb. And I know of only one answer to it. And this is the apostle's word, I commend you to God, he says, and to the word of his grace. That is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. This is what he's saying to these Ephesian elders. I know trouble's coming into this church, he says. I know wolves are going to come in, and I know of your own selves is going to happen. The only way to stop it is to get a grip on God more. Let God get a grip on you. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, whatever does he mean by that? I commend you. That word there, that Greek word, means I give you as a special treasure, something really precious. I give you into the hands of the one who can hold you and keep you in this dark and dying day. God. God! Now are you listening? Many believers put their hope in men. They put their hope in men. They put their hope in confessions of faith. They put their hope in churches. They put their hope in pastors. They put their hope, vain is the hope of man. Put not your confidence in princes. I want to put my heart and my soul in the hands of him of whom it says underneath of the everlasting ark. God. We're all going to move our separate ways. I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know where I'm going to go, what we're going to do. Okay. But my friend, whatever you do, have no other hope, no other confidence, no other security, no other basis, but God himself. That's a good church, he's a good pastor. Pastors come and go of your own selves. God. God. Now, I'm not commending God to you, says the apostle. I'm commending you to God. I'm depositing you into the hands of God. Because what that means is these men have to take this message back to the Ephesian people. We must look to God, brothers. We must trust in God. We mustn't trust in our own schemes and ways and plans. It's God we must rely on. We must please him. We must make him number one in our list. The word of Arthur Pink, this comes into my mind now. Arthur Pink said about church meetings, he says. He said, when you last hear, he said, of a church meeting, where this was taken seriously, what do you mean? He said, every church confession that he knew had this, that the king of this church is Christ. He said, but that's the last thing that usually happens. Man is the prince. Man is at the head. No, no, says Paul. I want you, he said to you, Ephesian elders, to realize that it must be God. And that's a blessed thing. Because all may change. But God never. I, the Lord, change not. We're changing tonight. This will never happen again. But my friend, if you go away with God, he never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now what does he mean there? Is he saying to these people, now you must read your Bible. Read your Bible. Master your Bible. Understand your Bible. Is that what he's saying? Well, you're not going to like what I say, but I don't think he is. Am I against Bible reading? No, of course I'm not. I tend to do it myself. I am known to read my Bible. Do you read yours? No? Oh, yeah. Thank you. At least somebody's there. Yeah. Good. But these dear believers didn't have a Bible. You see, they're Greeks. So first of all, they didn't have the Jewish scriptures. They might have had that Greek version, but almost certainly they did not. They didn't have the New Testament. Why not? Anybody got an idea why they didn't have the New Testament? Could have been written yet? No, that's right. So they haven't got it. It's not, you're not going to like it. It is not the paper. It's not the book. It's what it is. Now, that make any sense to you? What he's doing there is commanding them to the word of God's grace. Of course he means the scriptures, all right, I'll concede that. But what he really means is, and he's using the Greek word logos. And that is translated word here, okay. What I want to give you the sense of, what he's really commending them to, what he's really putting them into, is not simply the technical book. That the very message of that gospel, that's what he's up, the message of that book, is the word, the message of the grace of God. In other words, it's the gospel. I'm commending you, he says, to get full of and wrapped up in the whole message and ethos and power of the gospel. More, more, more. How does John open his gospel? The word, logos, made flesh and dwelt among us, full of what? Grace. Grace. What he's commending these people to is Christ. The scriptures, yes. The text, yes. The gospel, yes. But it's Christ he's after. It's Christ he's after. You see, one regret I had about my text tonight. Remember, 10 days ago I was here, and I preached on Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. And I told you there to fix, and what was I told you to do? Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what I told you, what the writer did. But I preached that. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And I said, I want you to link that with tonight. And why I wanted you to do that, because tonight I really wanted to preach on Christ. I think I can ask you, and I know some of you have said it in this room, whatever you get from me, you get Christ. And that's what people have said here, and I hope it's true. And I would love to have had a text tonight with Christ smack in the middle of it. I really would. And he's not there tonight, is he, openly? But he is there in my word of grace. That's what he's in there. He's in there. Of course he's there, because he's in all the scriptures. I've told you in this room, whoever's preaching, whatever text he preached on, he must find Christ in that text. For I believe Christ is in all the scriptures. And he's in this text, all right. Paul is saying, I commend you to the word, the message, the principle, the doctrine, the truth, I don't know, trying to find the right word, of grace. And that is centered in Jesus. Have you got the message? When I started, I spoke to those of you who are not yet trusting Christ. I hope there's nobody left in the room who's not trusting Christ now. But if you're not, I've still got a word for you. You will be saved by looking to Jesus. But you know, it's the same. It's the same word for the saints. What is Paul doing? He's saying to them, keep looking to Jesus. You see, it's the same word for the believer and the unbeliever. It's all looking to Jesus. It's all hoping in Jesus. It's all resting in Jesus. Christ. There's a sermon here, more than a sermon. I mean, the person of Christ, the work of Christ, his shedding of his blood on the cross, and all the rest of it is all caught up in this. And it's all down to God's grace. And you know what that is. You know that's God's undeserved goodness and mercy to us. No, it's more than that. It's when we deserve the opposite. God pours on us the love of the triune God. He pours, and in the cross, we see that love and mercy, that grace, come to absolute fruition. Do you know he's not commending them to sacraments? I pleaded just now, if you've come to faith and not been baptized, I've said, well, I'll say it to you, shame on you. I say that in the name of Christ, obey Christ. But I'm not going to preach baptism. That's not what's going to keep me. It's grace. It's Christ. It's just what I said just now, it's not men that's going to keep me. It's not churches, it's not denominations. Are you going to a good church? Are you? Are you going to Christ? Are you taking Jesus home with you tonight? Do you trust him? Do you love him? Do you keep looking to him? Do you keep believing him? Well, I trusted Christ 50 years ago. Did you? You should be trusting Christ this very minute. All my hope on Christ is dead. This is what Paul is urging upon these believers. The pagans are there. Oh, they got their philosophies. I should turn your back on that, my friend, and keep your eye on Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The Judaizers are there. They got the law in their pocket. They want you to go to law. Look to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. The word of his grace. Poor old Newton is him. I mean, it's been ruined by the crooners. But it is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But it only saved me. It will keep me. And it'll keep me to the very end. Some of you are afraid about dying, aren't you? You're not alone. Some of you are afraid that you might not die very well, and you might have a poor testament. I understand it. There are people to keep looking to Jesus, my friend. No other hope. No other way. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Keep those Judaizers out. Keep those pagans out. And yourself, if you find anybody going away from Christ, have done with it. I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know what preacher you're going to hear. I'm not casting any aspersions on them. But if they don't preach Jesus, they're no good. That's a good aspersion, isn't it? But that's my opinion about it. I am determined, says the apostle, to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord, he says. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And you can see what he means. Read Acts 20 again before you go to bed tonight. Preaching repentance. That doesn't mean talking about it. It means pleading with them to repent and come to Christ. He's pleading for them to trust Christ, to look to Christ, to know Christ, to enjoy Christ, to have Christ. Whom to know is life eternal. Disabled believer, looking to Jesus to build you up. Some people go off to Bible college to get built up. Seminary. Do you know the way to get built up? Keep looking to Jesus. Keep thinking about Jesus and his grace. Explore him. Know him. That will build you up. Now what is build up? Well, you know what it means. It puts strength into you. Muscle into you. Beef into you. I mean, some people, don't they? They live to eat. If you've got any sense, we eat to live. And to get energy. And muscle. I mean, we have little babies, and in effect, well, most of you have babies too. Now, what do? Well, you remember the days, looking back 50, 60 years ago? Come on, you remember it? You remember how you mashed up the potato, and you made sure they didn't want to eat it? What did you do? They wanted the banana, they wanted the candy, but you, what did you give them? What did you make sure they got? Have the cabbage, yes, you've got to have the cabbage, yes. And the bit of meat, yes, when it comes on, yes. Yeah, your babies needed it, didn't they? That's why they're grown men now, isn't it? And grown women. They can walk about and do things. How about that spiritually, brother and sister? I'm putting some beef into you. Build up. Do you know where you're going to get it? You don't have to go to seminary to get it. Go to Jesus. Keep thinking about him. Fix your eyes on him. There's a wonder in it, you know. The more you look at him, the more you explore him, the more you'll get like him. See, I don't want you religious. I don't want to be religious myself. I want to be a Christ man. That's what I want for you. And that's why I preach Jesus. Because I know of no other way to see sinners saved. I know of no other way to see saints. Edified. That's another word. Built up. You see, some people live on trash food, don't they? Yeah. You don't want that, do you, brother and sister? You want solid meat, don't you? And you know where that's found. In Christ. So what pushes you to enter the future? Demand Christ of us. Demand Christ. Able to build you up and give you an inheritance. I was struck. I looked just before I came out. My friend in the back corner there gave me some years ago, he gave me a New American Standard. And one advantage of the New American Standard he gave me was, it's got some nice references in the middle, and I know no Bible's got better references than this. It's a smacker, it's a lovely. And I looked at, and I was staggered to see the number of references to this verse. And in particular, I saw this, inheritance. I find that in Acts 26, verse 18, when Paul is being commissioned by Christ, that's the very thing he says. You go out, he says, and talks about an inheritance. The people you're going to go to will get an inheritance. You know what an inheritance is, my friend? You get very anxious about it when one of your relations died, don't you? You want to know what he left you. Yes, the inheritance. Now, all these things are linking together. Some people in this room have sat here with me over the previous months. Know we've been going through Timothy, 2 Timothy. And these things come up again and again, what we've been saying tonight. From Timothy, finishing the course, running the race. Looking to Jesus. It's all in, we saw it in Timothy. But inheritance too. Henceforth, he says, now come on, let's see if you can remember it. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love is appearing. Do you want that crown, brother? Do you want that crown, sister? So I'm talking to you as a believer now. Of course you do. Keep looking to Jesus. Growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. That's how Peter finishes letters. It's all finishing tonight. That's how he finishes his second letter. Growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's simple, isn't it? You know, there's no solid doctrine here. It's the doctrine of all doctrines. Christ. Because my text, as everybody knows, is Christ is all. That's the reputation I've got. I'm really proud of it, but I'm not sorry about it. Christ is all. Never further than my cross. Never. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's my glory ever. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. You know the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Very often they leave out one of the verses of Watts. His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the globe. And all the globe is dead to me. What is Watts saying there? Galatians 6. The more I look at Christ, he says, and see him hanging on the cross for me, the more I'm transformed into his likeness. This is what the apostle's doing here, I think. Among all them which are sanctified. Again, that ties in another theme. Remember a few Sundays ago, maybe the last time I was sure, I can't remember now. No, the time before probably. It was Hebrews 10:10-14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified, being sanctified. And I spoke to you that evening, I remind you of it, that sanctification, this long word, it means two things particularly for the believer. One, the moment the sinner believes, do you know what happens to him? He is justified. What does that mean? He means he is perfectly righteous in the sight of God. clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. So God sees no spot, or stain, or wrinkle, or any such thing in him. And men accuse me of antinomianism. That's a long word, that's what they say. It's a nasty word for saying that. But I say it with the apostle. I just quoted Ephesians chapter 5. I just quoted Hebrews 10. By one offering, he has perfected. I didn't say it. The writer of the Hebrews said it. And Paul said this. There is no condemnation to any man who is in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus does for us. But it's not only that, he sanctifies us. But Acts 26, 26 verse 18 text says, inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The moment you believe, you're not only justified, right with God, perfect in his sight, but you are utterly separated from the pagans. That's what sanctification means. You are drawn out of the world. As Paul writes into Colossians says, chapter 1 verse 13, he has translated us out of the realm of darkness into the kingdom of his son of his love. He's distinguished us. So that although I talk about churches, really I want to use the Greek word there, and I've used this word here in this room, and I'll use it again. Ekklesia. Ek, out of. Ecclesia, called. Called out of. The believer is called out of the world. Psalm 40. He drew me out of the miry pit. If any of you trusted Christ at the beginning of the service, that's what happened to you. You didn't realize, you thought you were just trusting Jesus. Oh yes, no. God was accounting you righteous in that act, in that moment. He was separating you from the world. You will never be classed with them again in his sight. And that's what Paul is saying here. God, believer, look at this, he says, God will give you an inheritance if you keep your focus on the word of his grace, upon Christ. You'll be sanctified, yes, because you are in Christ, but you will also be made more holy as you contemplate him, as you look into him, and as you're trusting him. I'm going to have to let you go. I don't want to let you go. I want to be sure of you all, that you are in Christ. And now I want to give you this emphasis, if I can. My sermons are rambling all over the place, but I really want to press this into you, and into myself too, not just you. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus, brothers and sisters. Let us keep pressing on to him. Let's not trust in man, or any human agency to hold us. Let us have a real living faith in Jesus and walk with him and live with him and die with him one day and be raised with him. Give me Jesus, else I die. Are you going to take Jesus home with you? It's for my last time of asking. Are you going to take Jesus home with you? Or are you leaving him here? Leaving him in this text. There it is, it's finished. Then it was a waste of time. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. There's room in my heart for thee. Well, you say, that's our minion, if you know what I'm talking about. Let it be our minion. Let it be our minion. Have you got room in your heart for Jesus? Believer. Unbeliever. See, it's all the same. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. What can I say to you? I can't do any better than just close with this text. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you, think of it, an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Oh, please don't leave this text in the Bible. Take it out. Put it into your heart if you can. May God's Spirit put it in your heart and in mine. May you think upon it. And may you think upon the Christ of this text. May God bless this work to us. Every one of us. Amen.